Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to I Don't Care with me, Kevin Stevenson. Great to have you back this week. So this week, I've got a very interesting individual. If you're in healthcare, like most of you are, and you get Becker's healthcare e-newsletters every day, like most of us do, you'll have seen this young man mentioned a few times over the last couple of years. Today's guest is Aidan Hettler. He is the CEO, yes, CEO at Sedgwick County Health Center in Julesburg, Colorado. Aidan, welcome to I Don't Care.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate that warm introduction. It's a privilege to be here.
Well, thanks for joining me. Let's go ahead and hit the elephant in the room. Aidan, how old are you?
I'm 24.
24 years old, been a CEO for 2 years. Yep. That's amazing. How did this happen?
Yeah,
I'm really interested to hear your story.
That's the burning question that everyone wants to know. So, it's a really unique story. So I was living and working in Julesburg at the time that the opening came about. I was working remotely for Lockheed Martin. I was doing subcontract administration work for them in central procurement and the space division. And have been out of school about 9 months at the time and lived in this small town. And, you know, in small towns, everybody knows everyone for better or worse. And as people got to know me, they knew that I was Aidan and I work at home and I do business things. So when there were rumblings that at the health center, there was going to be a change in leadership and the CEO at the time was going to be stepping out of his role, someone in the organization thought that it may be worth a shot reaching out to me and just seeing if I had any interest in the role. And I got a phone call and they said, hey, you know, our CEO is leaving. You're a business guy. Would you be interested in doing this? And I, of course, was deeply flattered and said, no, I don't think so. Thank you very much.
That was a smart first answer.
Yeah. And of course, the conversation was much more robust than that. We ended up talking in a first phone call. We talked for over 2.5 hours. And I just explained that, you know, I felt like I didn't have any right doing that. I didn't work in healthcare, didn't have any formal healthcare management education, any experience. But through that conversation, we talked more about the state of the health system and how things had gone. The outgoing CEO was their fourth one in 5 years. And we know that healthcare CEOs turn over often, and in rural, that's even faster, that turnover. So in talking with this individual, we really just unpacked a lot of what had happened in that time frame of 5 years. You know, they had a CEO who had been here for 17 years. And, you know, that's an incredible run and, you know, very stabilizing. And then when that person departed, that's when things, you know, started to shift. And it's hard to fill a void after someone's been here that long. And then, of course, after they found someone, that didn't quite work out. And then you have an interim and then they find someone and then the pandemic hits and, so it goes. So we had a great conversation and I felt like at the end of it, I understood more about what the system needed. And it sounded like they really just needed a leader that was going to come in and listen to the people and make them feel heard and supported after everything that they'd gone through with the pandemic and all of this turnover in the CEO role. But of course, at the end of the conversation, I still said, hey, you know, I'm incredibly flattered, but I do think you'd be better off finding someone else. But fortunately, that individual was very persistent and said, well, you know, okay, but I'm going to reach back out to you. And she did and said, I think you should just apply. I said, okay, well, you know, I want to be respectful and, you know, I'll apply. Someone will get my application and say, okay, this guy, that, you know, that's funny. He's not qualified. So thanks, but no thanks. Well, as you can imagine, I applied and one thing led to another and, you know, it was interview time and got the interview and prepared for that and had a great interview. It was an interview unlike anyone I'd ever had. It was with all of our board members and all of our department leads. There were over 17 people in there, and it was great. It was over an hour and a half long, and we just had a really robust discussion about, again, the needs of the health system and where they had been and where they wanted to go, and where I felt I could take them with what I did know about business and my leadership philosophy, which is being a servant leader. So we kind of unpacked that in a more deep, you know, level. We unpacked what servant leadership meant and defined it. And I bridged where they were at the time with where we want to go with the servant leadership philosophy and explained how I felt I could lead them there. Well, I guess I must have done a good job inspiring people in that conversation. And they extended me the job, and here I am. And it's the best job that I've ever had. And I love what I do. And it's definitely a privilege being a leader. And this is a hardworking team and a community that, you know, needs access to this kind of care. And it's just great. Rural health is an amazing place to be.
That's great. What a great story, you know, and that's how a lot of us get into healthcare. You know, I was kind of the same thing. I was a little bit older than you, but I had someone who was a mentor of mine who said, hey, why don't you apply to the hospital? And he happened to be the CEO of the hospital. And he said, I don't know what I have, but, you know, right now, but just apply. And about 8 weeks later, I started in healthcare on the business development side and worked my way through and operational roles and all that. I got to say, you beat me by 13 years. My first CEO job, I was 35. I thought that was pretty cool. Sorry, I bow down to you.
No.
Anyway, you know, I love the fact, you know, that you recognized early on that, you know, healthcare and servant leadership really go together. You know, me personally, I've always felt healthcare is a calling, you know, because you are using your talents to serve other people. And you know, that's why I've been in for-profit, not-for-profit, faith-based, community-based, whatever. And I've always landed, you know, my favorite positions, like the one I have now, are in faith-based, not-for-profit, because that's where we can truly live out a mission. And I know, you know, I've spent some time in rural healthcare in Kentucky and Nebraska, and so know a lot of the challenges that you face there, and know that, yeah, you're the hospital CEO, but you're also usually the main economic driver of your community. So the entire community is looking to you to ensure a viability of an organization that not only they need from a personal standpoint, but they need from an economic standpoint too.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. You hit it right on the head. I mean, the gravity of being in this position is far greater than supporting the immediate organization at hand. You know, we are the largest employer in our county, the largest economic driver, the largest business. And ultimately, you know, the overall ability for the community to not just survive, but thrive rests, you know, largely in how well we perform as an organization. Just because we don't just nurture people from a health standpoint, but for all the people that work here, you know, their employment and the money that they earn here goes into this economy here and supports, you know, their spouse or their children or their relative. And I mean, it's amazing how far out, you know, the impact from this one organization can spread in supporting the entire community. Yeah. So like you said, it's incredible the impact that just one place can have in this area.
So talk a little bit about Julesburg and about Sedgwick County and about your hospital. Give my listeners and viewers just a little handle about, you know, what do you face on a day-to-day basis? But let's talk about, you know, just demographics and all of that.
Yeah, sure thing. So Sedgwick County Health Center has a really unique history. So the modern era of healthcare in Sedgwick County started in 1950, whenever this hospital opened. It opened January 1st, 1950. So we're about to celebrate our 75th year. which is really exciting. And since the doors opened then, we have expanded and grown. We've seen a lot of growth. We've seen some contraction. You know, we've seen all of those things that come with the growing pains of rural areas throughout time. But since then, we've grown from just a hospital to, you know, a hospital that has a nursing home, and then a hospital, nursing home, and clinic. And then we opened an assisted living. And now today we have our 15-bed critical access hospital, level 4 trauma center, you know, dedicated emergency department that's part of the hospital. We've got 3 rural health clinics, a 32-bed non-skilled nursing home, and a 20-unit assisted living that's all part of our small but mighty rural health system. So, of course, we've evolved a lot since the original opening of the doors in 1950, and it's something that we're really proud of. And the community that we take care of is really unique. So because we're in the corner of our state, we are less than a mile in actually a couple different directions from the Nebraska state border. So 2 of our primary care clinics are actually in Nebraska, and our main clinic is here. So we're a small but mighty multi-state rural health system, which is kind of cool. But with that, we don't just take care of our friends and neighbors here in Sedgwick County, but we reach into Nebraska, into Keith and Dual counties as well. So a large portion of our patients come from that area as well. And, you know, we see the typical things that rural health systems do in terms of, you know, payer sources are always a constraint. You know, we see a high population of government-based payers, Medicare and Medicaid. Our overall population skews more towards the older side, you know, retiree type community, which has its own benefits and challenges. So we see a lot of chronic care management, which makes things a little bit complex with a lack of access to specialty care. So we're working on forging partners with larger health systems to gain access to those types of care close to home. But yeah, so that's a little bit about our catchment area and who we serve. But
so where is your primary tertiary level hospital?
So we send a lot of people to the Denver metro area and Front Range in Colorado. So it really depends on what people need. So a lot of our trauma patients are going to Denver. They'll go to Swedish. And then Poudre Valley Hospital in Fort Collins receives a lot of our patients, Medical Center of the Rockies in Loveland. We don't have any one place, but it just kind of depends on what you need. Yeah.
Yeah, but we're talking about significant distance from where you
are. Yeah, 2.5 hours by ground. And I believe, don't quote me on it, I think it's about 1 hour by helicopter flight. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Well, that's, you know, what a huge responsibility for you. Now, tell me a little bit, you know, how many employees do you have there? How many providers do you have there that are on staff there?
Yeah, so we have total of about 140 employees right now. Okay. And then our provider team, we've got 6 FTEs, and then we've got some part-time providers too. Sure. So we've got 2 staff physicians, and then we have 4 mid-levels, 3 PAs and an NP, and our 6 full-time staff rotate through call coverage in our emergency department. So those are our family med folks who, you know, practice in our clinic. And they also cover the ED. So, you know, you have those folks kind of crossing, doing those hybrid roles and getting reps in a bunch of different modalities, which is really interesting. And then we were fortunate earlier this year, we launched an integrated mental health practice as part of our family medicine practice. So we have 1 day a week an LCSW and a psychiatric nurse practitioner that support our team in telehealth, which is really nice and a huge benefit as well. So we've got those folks, and then we're recruiting 2 more FTEs for family medicine, which is really nice.
Good for you. That's great. You know, again, spending 3 years in outstate Nebraska in Kearney, and I was at a little bit bigger hospital than you, where we were the tertiary hub, but we worked with some 25 to 30 critical access hospitals, and really, you know, got that, you know, that helped me cultivate my love for rural healthcare, because we work not only in Nebraska, but certainly down in northern Kansas as well. Didn't quite make it to Colorado. There were plenty of providers there. But so let's go back. Okay, you get this job, right? And you, admittedly, not any healthcare experience beforehand. So talk me through, how did you gain that experience, you know, mentors, education, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I came into it very honestly. You know, I think my board hired me with the intention of knowing that it was going to be someone who had a fresh perspective, right? I think that they felt like they had hired people in the past who came with all the years of experience, came with all the knowledge, knew it all. And it didn't necessarily work out the way that they had hoped. So I think that they were at a point where they were willing to take a chance on someone like me and see how it went. And they knew that, you know, through the right support mechanisms, they felt like I could get there. And I would venture to guess that they would say that their hunch was right, because I feel like we've done some really great work in the last 2 years. So when I first started, I came in, you know, and told my teams very openly and honestly that I didn't know anything about what they do or what their day-to-day looks like. And the first thing that I wanted to do was spend a lot of time understanding that from an in-depth perspective. So through just conversations and shadowing and understanding our individual departments and teams, I slowly but surely, you know, began to grasp and understand, you know, how the puzzle pieces of rural health kind of fit together. And very fortunately, too, I reached out to someone on the Eastern Plains, Kevin Stansberry, and asked if he would be so gracious as to be my formal mentor. And he agreed to do that for me. So ever since I started, we've met almost on a weekly basis and just talked through, you know, situations, things that I should know, things that I should look into, learn, brush up on. So he's been a tremendous asset. And then I'm very fortunate. We're a member organization to the Eastern Plains Healthcare Consortium. Mm-hmm. So we have 13 member hospitals/systems that are part of the EPHC. Actually, we may be up to 14 now. We just welcomed a new one officially last week. Yeah. So I might have to update my stat there. So saying that 13, but it's 14 now. And through that group of CEOs, there's such a great level of support and people that I could reach out to and ask questions. And they were all so kind and accepting of me. You know, I think it would have been very easy for them to write me off and just say, oh, you know, that's that young kid up in Sedgwick and they don't know what they're doing and he's way in over his head. But they went the complete opposite direction and embraced me and said, hey, what do you need to know? And, you know, we're in your corner and, you know, call or text anytime, day or night. And just having that direct community was so helpful. So between, you know, that organization and building that, you know, rapport and those good relationships with my teams and just saying, you know, hey, you've got to treat me like a little kid who doesn't know anything about what you do. And that's okay. And I'm just here to learn. You know, I learned a lot and I love to learn and I do it every day. So it made it a lot of fun. And just from there, it's grown more and more. And then, you know, I've relied on even bigger organizations like the Colorado Hospital Association, Colorado Rural Health Center, Western Healthcare Alliance are, you know, and larger partners. And through one thing or another, you just keep learning. And, you know, I don't know it all and never will, but and never claim to, but you make.
Well, trust me, I've been doing it for over 35 years and I don't know it all at all. So, you know, keep striving to get there. So looks like you're working on a graduate degree. Did I see correct. That correctly on LinkedIn?
Yeah, you did.
How do you squeeze that in?
Yeah, it's just one more thing, you know. There's right? I've always been that person where I definitely don't know how to say no, but this is definitely an opportunity that I didn't want to say no to. So this master's program, it's a master's in healthcare transformation through UT Austin. And it's a really, really wonderful and unique program. So it's designed for working people, you know, executives, physicians, those who are working 40, 50 hours a week in healthcare, but want to advance their knowledge and learn more. So even though it was one more thing, it doesn't feel burdensome because it's just fun to learn and be with this exceptional group of peers and learn from their experiences. But in a nutshell, the program is all about value-based care and how do we move from our standard, you know, fee-for-service, very transactional healthcare world that we're in right now and transition into a value-based care, you know, service in the U.S. that really delivers for patients and caters to, you know, capability, comfort, and calm, three key tenets that really, when you break down the care experience for patients, those are three things that time and time again, research says really, really matters to people. And if you use, you know, those three things and other key principles and your strategy and your alignment and your outcomes measurement, you can really move the needle on how you provide care in your organization. So it's been an amazing experience being a part of the program. And it's been such a fast year. I actually finished the program in 5 weeks.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. It's just been wonderful. And like I said, the cohort's been exceptional. It's a great group of physicians and other leaders in healthcare that are just amazing people who will be lifelong friends and peers for sure.
Very good. Yeah, you know, I was just going to say, you've hit on two aspects of healthcare that have always been, you know, impressive to me throughout my career. And it's the fact that most leaders in healthcare are lifelong learners. You know, they continue to go back, they continue to learn, whether it's another degree or certification or just, you know, just some advanced training. But also the other thing is just the willingness to mentor others. You know, I've always found healthcare leaders to be very, you know, wanting to give back to other people, particularly those younger than themselves, because, you know, we need to be, particularly at the stage of my career, I need to be looking at young leaders that I can help lift up and take my place. And so, you know, that is something that healthcare folks have always been great about. And I've been involved in, you know, ACHE. I don't know if you're a member yet.
I'm going to put him in my form.
Okay, good for you. Good for you. But you know, being in a couple of different chapters that where mentorship was really, you know, a stalwart of those chapters, and seeing the impact that made on not only the mentee but the mentor as well. So good for you, number one, for reaching out and getting a formal mentor and continuing that education.
Yeah, thank you. No, and it's great to have people in the industry like yourself that care about giving back to the next, you know, group of leaders coming up, because the wealth of knowledge that you've gained during your career is something that, you know, is so invaluable. You know, I can't just pick that up overnight. So having those relationships is so incredible and impactful. So, yeah.
Let's talk about, you know, kind of your experience. You know, what, give me a couple of things that really surprised you about healthcare as a whole. Let's start with that.
The most surprising thing about healthcare is just how different the business structure of it is. You know, mm-hmm. So in, you know, formal business education for your business administration type degree, anybody who has a BS or BA in business administration, we really don't touch healthcare business. And now I can being in it, I kind of understand why, because it's just so different. You know, there's the payment mechanisms and the revenue cycle is so fundamentally different from everything that we learn. You know, when I got here, that was something that tripped me up the most. Like when we talked about, you know, revenue, we submit a claim and, you know, submit the bill, and then you only get 20% paid back. You know, it's like, well, hold on a second. What do you mean? You know, no other business works exactly like that. I mean, not even close. You know, you may in a general business say, okay, you know, we're going to give you a 20% discount and we're going to do this. But man, the revenue cycle in this industry was just mind blowing to me. I would have never known prior to coming into the administrative side of it that it worked like that. So that was just incredibly shocking. And then from just a people management standpoint, I think the complexities of managing, you know, the workforce and teams in healthcare is really interesting, because especially in rural, you know, we're such a tight-knit group, yet you have so many team members that do so many diverse and different things in a small group. So you always have to be conscientious of, you know, okay, we're making this decision and this is going to improve the work-life balance for the nurses, but how's it going to affect, you know, the CNAs, or how's it going to affect the provider, or how's it going to affect the patient? How's it, you know, so the, you know, the web of intricacies is very interesting too. And I feel like how you make decisions in healthcare is just very different, because you've got so many different stakeholders. You know, the patient's always first in mind, but as a servant leader, you always have to factor in how are you doing your best to take care of your people, right? Because if you aren't putting your people first, they can't ever produce the best outcomes for your patients. So just that whole thought process and changing, you know, that approach to leadership, or for me, not even changing, because I hadn't been a leader in a formal capacity before, but learning that style, and not that I'm some master of it by any stretch now, but, you know, just continually adapting your approach to make sure that you're fitting the needs of your people, at least in the best way you can, because you'll never satisfy everyone, has been a surprising and interesting learning journey.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm sure, yeah, you're dealing with people who are, you know, on 95% of the time, it's their worst day in their life. And so yeah, you're having to deal with a lot of emotion. You're having to deal with a lot of sometimes folks who are not thinking as clearly as they normally do.
Certainly.
And so you have to temper that with, you know, how, you know, I'm here to serve you, but sometimes, you know, you're actually getting in your own way or your loved one's way. And so, you know, really being intentional about explaining things and making sure that they recognize, the patients and their loved ones recognize that what you're trying to do is in their overall best interest. It may not seem like that at the time. So, absolutely. And I'm sure, you know, and I certainly found out in rural environments where the town is small and everybody knows everybody, mm-hmm. You know, that compounds some of those conversations.
Yeah, it certainly does. And in a small system like this, as the CEO and the leader, I'm not that far removed from care conversations sometimes. There have been instances where, you know, as you were talking about, people who are involved in, you know, those really difficult decisions about their loved ones, and they're, you know, they're hearing the things that they know are logical, but they don't want to hear them from your care staff. Those sometimes bubble up into complaints or things that, you know, they want to talk to someone like me about. And you have to have those really difficult conversations and say, you got to bring it back down to earth and be a human, right? And say, hey, I understand that, you know, this is a really difficult time for you and your family and your loved one. And these are hard decisions to make, but you know, the care team that's here has the best interest of that person in mind. And, you know, we're working with you as a team to help guide you through this and this decision and so on and so forth. And that's definitely something that's unique, you know, being in rural, that I don't know that a CEO at a large system would ever get that close and actually talk to a patient family. Maybe they do. I don't know from experience, but I found myself there more than once, and it's just amazing how, you know, those connections happen in rural.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Couple of wrap up things.
Sure.
Leave my audience with one nugget that you've learned over the last 2 years.
Oh man. Always ask that question. I always think, you know, approach things humbly. You know, I have always told my team, I'm never afraid to be the first person in the room to raise my hand and say, I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. Even if it's in situations where, you know, me sitting in my chair, I should know what they're talking about, but it's my first time being exposed to it. I will always say, hey, hold on, time out. Can you explain this to me? Or I'm just not getting it to you. Or I'm not getting what you're putting down here. Can you explain it to me a different way? I don't think anyone should ever have a fear of stepping up and just saying that, no matter what your stature is or position, because that kind of humanizes everyone, right? And you know, just helps set the stage for productive conversations. So I always think that that's something good to just share, and remember that people are coming from all kinds of different places, and it's always okay to just stop and pause and ask for that clarification if you don't get it. And especially if you're someone who truly doesn't get it and you just need to be humble and say, yep, first time hearing this, help me understand that.
Sure. So, yeah. Okay. So you're running a pretty complex organization in rural Colorado. You're finishing up your master's degree. What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? Well, I've gotten pretty involved with my community here. So I sit on the board of our organized rec group, which is really exciting. So we recently took our old high school and opened it up as a community center. So I was pretty involved in the board's work doing that, which has been really exciting. We have a lot of community events here, especially during the summer months. So getting out and getting involved in those, like we did a color run earlier in June. That was really fun. Just, you know, standard recreation stuff, like the paddle board. Yeah. All your standard things. Go to breweries. Do the things like that. Yeah.
Good for you. That's great. Well, Aiden, it has been a great pleasure to have you on I Don't Care. You know, again, it's wonderful to see young healthcare leaders who, and your passion and your commitment just comes through. And so, you know, thank you for that. You're obviously wise beyond your years, just in speaking with you over this last half hour. So, you know, again, thanks so much. Congratulations to all you've accomplished. I know you're going to continue to do that, and look forward to following your career for many, many years to come.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. So kind. And thank you for this opportunity. It was really a pleasure. So,
well, that's great. I appreciate you being on. Aiden Hettler, the CEO of Sedgwick County Health Center in Julesburg, Colorado. Thanks for being on I Don't Care with me. Really appreciate that. And audience, thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to Aiden's story and his journey, and be looking out for him because he's definitely going to be going places in healthcare. So with that, we will see you next week. Take care.